So if you guys have any questions whatsoever about keto or intermittent fasting, whether you're starting keto as a new person or just need to debug your program, or you have a question about a product, call one of our keto consultants. They'll be able to help you. Call 540-299-1557. That's 540-299-1557.
Welcome to the Dr. Berg Healthy Keto and Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Now your host, the man taking your health to a whole new level, Dr. Eric Berg.
Okay, well, welcome to the webinar. We're going to talk about this topic called stress. That's right. I don't know if you've ever heard of this topic, but if you've ever had stress, go ahead and let me know if you've ever experienced stress at least once before, because we're going to talk about exactly what it is and some ideas to visualize it on a test, and then I'll give you some things to do to get rid of your stress. So I'm going to just give it a couple more, like maybe another 30 seconds before we begin. But I'm trying to figure out this chat. I think I want to make sure you can hear me. Can you hear me? Yeah. So let's see here. Hey.
Hey.
Hear me okay?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. How about now? Can you?
Yeah, much better. Got it.
Okay, great.
All right.
So now I'm going to get started here. Let me just. I just had my all the people accessed.
Okay.
And then I, of course, press that button again.
Use app.
Okay. Here. So let me just pull it up again one more second. Oh, here it is. Okay. Control room. Oh, there we go. Okay, good.
My light's horrible here, so I'll figure it out some other time.
Oh, that actually turns out really good. It's
okay,
perfect.
Good.
All right, so welcome everyone. This is Dr. J, and
hi.
She's one of my practitioners and very qualified. She has her master's in nutrition and biochemistry, and so she works at the clinic, and then she's going to be helping me do the seminar right here. So as people are trickling in, I want to get started, because every time this goes on YouTube, there's this delayed for like 5 minutes. I'm just sitting there. So let's just get started. I want to talk about stress and actually what is stress? Oh no, this is interesting. I don't know what these boxes are. I'm trying to get rid of these little things right here. I don't know. Do you see anything on my screen, Dr. J?
No.
Okay, good. Now it's working. All right, beautiful. So let's talk about stress. What is stress? Stress is basically it's an internal or an external force on your body. It's kind of a pressure. It comes from the derivation of the word. Well, I'll just pull it up right here. Screen share. Where is my screen share? Okay. Now the screen share. All right, screen share is not working. Let me find out why, because I wanted to show all these slides. All right, let me see. Let me figure this out right here. All right. Okay, so the screen share now works. Beautiful. Okay. So what is stress? Stress is a mental, emotional, physical tension or pressure. It comes from the Latin word, which means to draw tight or tighten. So stress is a feeling of tightness or pressure and tension in your body. So that's basically what stress is. There's a couple things you guys need to know about stress. Number one, it all accumulates. All the stress in your body accumulates. And I don't think you realize that the stuff that even happened when you're a kid is still affecting your body. And that includes a series of things. Number one, physical injury. We have infection. So in other words, the reason why people keep getting in the same infections in the lung or the throat or the chronic cough is because they had some earlier infection that created a weak link, and they keep getting it over and over and over and over and over again. And so the same thing with a menstrual cycle. If every month it's a trauma to menstruation over and over and over, then it creates problems down the road, especially when you go through menopause, because now that problem doesn't go away. It transfers up into the backup organ called the adrenal gland. So we have stress is accumulative. So we have surgery, we have infection, we have trauma, we have repetitive losses, you just have emotional stress, divorces, all that is accumulative on the body. And so when it accumulates, it gets stuck in certain organs and glands. That's what happens. So when it gets stuck in the organs and glands, it can really mess up the function of the glands, and it can affect the health of the body. And it can prevent you from sleeping, and it can create all sorts of problems. In fact, polyps, tumors, cysts, even cancer tends to grow in areas of stress in your body. So if you have this chronic inflammatory uterus, for example, from a heavy period, it's more likely to develop a fibroid. Same thing with your digestive tract. If you have a lot of stress in your digestive tract, you can get a polyp. I've surveyed people with cancer, and a lot of times they'll have cancer in the location of where they had a previous injury, which is very, very interesting. So, Dr. J, what's your thoughts now? You've worked on a lot of people that are stressed, right? So
yeah.
Give me an example of what you're seeing currently out there with people with stress.
Well, I've had a diabetic patient who was not diabetic prior to a trauma that happened in life, and it was cumulative over years. It was death in the family and then divorce. It just added on. And she became diabetic. She's on metformin, insulin when she came in, on a wheelchair, debilitating amount of pain as far as her low back, and her inflammation, C-reactive protein levels were at 40.
Wow.
6 weeks.
C-reactive protein is an inflammatory marker.
Mm-hmm. So her C-reactive protein during her first physical exam prior to coming in to see us was 40. 6 weeks of treatment with us, acupressure and a lot of other therapies that we do in-house, and diet, and also just having a different meal plan set up for her to follow to get her insulin levels to reduce. C-reactive protein after 6 weeks of treatment with us came down to 6. So
wow.
That was tremendous. She's able to walk now. She's not using her wheelchair anymore. So tremendous success with that.
Oh, that's awesome. The inflammatory conditions, like in the joints, for example, that's stress in the joints, and then that's accumulate, like an old injury will develop like more arthritic stuff down the road. So if someone has a problem with the thyroid or the pancreas or the liver or the gallbladder, it usually happens from earlier stresses that build up that get stuck in the body. My chronic weakness was my gallbladder, And of course, all I ate growing up was sugar and deep fried catfish from the all-you-can-eat buffet we used to go down in Wisconsin. Pretty much everyone just ate, you know, meat and potatoes and deep fried food. So I don't think I ate a vegetable until I was 22, and I just lived on junk. I had so much of an absence of awareness because I can get away with it. And then it started to catch up with me when I was 28 last year. And then, no, I'm just kidding. So all that bad food just messed up with my liver and my bile ducts, and then that's just been a chronic, after that, problem for a weak link as far as stress goes. So, number one, all stress accumulates. Stress leaves an impression on your organs, glands, and tissues. And the feeling what stress is basically an organ or a gland that's in contraction. It's in a contracted state. All right? So now, there's some pretty cool thing I want to share with you. And of course, now my screen is not showing. Yep, so let me just try to find that thing. Where is it? Let me just let me see here. Let's see if it works now. Boom. Yes. Okay. So I wanted to show you a screen right here. This is a representation of your sleep cycles. You have four 90-minute sleep cycles. Sometimes it goes between 90 minutes and 110, but when you go to sleep at night, approximately, normally, it's supposed to kick in about 10:45, and then it goes every four cycles, 90 minutes to 110 minutes, and you're supposed to go through a light sleep, which is REM sleep, rapid eye movement, into a deep delta wave sleep, back and forth. So this cycle of sleep helps us recover. It helps us rejuvenate. It helps us reduce stress. Okay, and that's normal. That's what we normally are supposed to go through. But of course, when you go through stress, you'll never be able to hit the deeper delta wave sleep, and that's really what messes people up, because it's kind of like, it's not the stress, it's the inability to recover along the way when you accumulate stress. Now, there's a technology that was developed in 1990 by that Russian scientist, and it's called heart rate variability. Okay, variability means the ability or capacity to vary or change. So heart rate variability is the technology or the measurement of how the heartbeats change over period over time. In a normal healthy body, the distance between the beats should be not the same but varied, and that would indicate a very flexible, elastic heart. But when your heart is exactly the same beating and the distance between the heartbeats is exactly the same, that means that your heart is very, very rigid and very, very inelastic and old and susceptible to problems. So these Russian scientists build this technology called heart rate variability, and what they measured was something called the autonomic nervous system. And if you've never heard about this system before, I want to explain what it is. The autonomic nervous system is the system of control behind the lung, the heart, the hormones, the pancreas, the digestive tract, the urinary bladder. And there's two major systems. You have the flight or fight part, which is called the sympathetics. Flight or fight is like the stress reaction. And then we have the parasympathetics, okay? So those two systems are part of the autonomic, which or automatic nervous system. So the sympathetics is kind of like the accelerator. It's like the gas pedal. And the parasympathetic is the brake pads. It's rest and digest, okay? Now notice on the left, Dr. Jameson, can you see this right here? Can you see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Just wondered. You can see that the sympathetic is in the mid-back. You see that? It's on the mid-back. That's the location of it. And then the parasympathetic is in the top part up here and the bottom part right here. So they kind of they come out of different parts of your spine. And so these Russian scientists knew that every organ system has a certain amount of this and a certain amount of that. For example, your adrenal gland, which is a stress gland, has an outside, that's all gland tissue, and an inside, that's all nerve tissue. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So all that nerve tissue is 100% flight or fight sympathetics. So the adrenal gland doesn't have a parasympathetic control. In other words, it doesn't have an off switch. It's all flight or fight on switch. It's designed for stress and reacting to stress and so that's what it does. Now, other parts of your body, like the heart, have a 50-50 split, 50% sympathetic and 50% parasympathetic. So they use the heart as the main organ to enter and measure and quantitatively measure how much you have of flight or fight versus parasympathetic. So we have a measurement system to be able to measure what's going on in the body. And I want to show you, here's that thing, heart rate variability. See the distance between the heartbeats? This is 845, 745. So all these should be very, very different. That's in a healthy body. This is the test that I want to show everyone. This is pretty cool. This is a kind of a normal, this is this tall bow here is the flight or fight. When you're at rest, you should always be neutral. In other words, you should never have stress when you're relaxed, right? So the flight or fight mechanism should be neutral, straight up and down. That's normal. When you're at rest, you should always have twice as much of the recovery or the parasympathetic. We're just going to call this your stress, and we're going to call this recovery right now, just to keep it simple. And this is normal right here, okay? So I just want to let you know that in a normal body, this is what it should look like. Okay, so I'm going to cover some patterns of this in a second, but I wanted to show you that we're able to measure what's going on in a body real time with stress and the ability to recover. But I want to give you a little more reality on this so you can really understand it as we talk about this. Let's pretend that you ran up the stairs real fast, and you jogged up the stairs, and your pulse rate went up to, let's say, 130 beats per minute. What's going to cause that reaction to stress or that adaptation is this tall dial. This is the flight or fight. So the flight or fight mechanism basically gets your body to adapt to the stress state. So you run up. See, if you didn't have the system, you would get to the top and you would pass out because the blood, the heart rate, couldn't keep up with the muscle demand for oxygen. So we constantly, our bodies are reacting to stress to be able to deal with the stress and then recover. So we get up to the top and this small dial right here starts to kick in and starts to get us to rebound or reset or come back to normal. Okay? So those are the two systems. We have the reaction to stress and the recovery of stress. And they're working constantly in a system called the homeostasis, which is the ability to adapt to our environment, adapt and compensate to our life and the stresses that we have. Okay, so that's pretty much what it is. And I want to know if anyone has any questions thus far before I go to the next step. And as I'm reading some of the things, I just want to mention that I guess this is an older thing, but yeah, stress could be pregnancy. That could be very, very stressful. Of course, my wife says, I have no idea what that means. We had all three of our kids at home with the midwife, and the last one, the midwife didn't show up, so I had to deliver the baby. So it turned out fine. The cord is wrapped around three times, and we just undid it, and the baby came out. And our son is, well, he's a little he twitches a little bit, and he projectile vomit. No, he's fine. He's totally healthy. All right, so it's good. So everyone's good on that. Can you have underlying stress without feeling it physically? Sure, you can. Absolutely. Because here's the thing. We're measuring on this graph your body. But you also have the person, the personality, that is their integrity. Like, they could be have a very high pain threshold or a high, just their personality is so high emotionally that they don't even basically get phased with their body. So some people, the littlest thing will bug them. But other people, like, I had this guy, he's an airborne ranger. His chute didn't open. He hit the trees. He got paralyzed. They captured him for 90 days. But the guys who captured him, they forgot to turn the beaker off. And so, of course, his friends found him and helped him. And then before that, he was a rodeo clown, so he rode bulls. And this guy doesn't feel pain. He doesn't feel stress. So, yes, that is true. You can have a really messed up body but feel okay. And you can also, it could be reverse as well. All right, so anyway. All right, so now I want to cover some things here. Let me just see right here. Oh, yeah, I want to show you this pattern. Hopefully I'll be able to do it. Let me see. Okay, good. All right. Dr. J, can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay. Notice the first thing we're talking about is this tall dial right here. You can see the tall dial should be normally up and down, but this person is way, 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 way too high. What happens is that this person is stuck in what's called flight or fight mode. They're stuck in stress. All right, what most likely they're going to feel, they're going to feel very revved up. They're not going to be able to relax. They're not going to be able to sleep that great. When they lay down at night, their mind won't turn off because it's constantly going 24/7. Cognitively, they're going to be thinking, analyzing everything 24 hours a day because they're in flight or fight. So their head won't turn off. Okay, so that's one thing. But notice the small dial, the recovery is also lower, but it's not terrible. Okay, so in other words, yes, they have their foot on the gas pedal, but they have good brake pads. So if the person has really good recovery, they may not feel too bad because they can cope with the flight or fight. Does that make sense? So in other words, this small dial, they both work together, okay? So this person, you can pretty much say they're jacked up, but they have good brake pads. Okay, next graph. Check this out. Now we have the flight or fight, which is not too bad. It's slightly higher, so they're a little bit jacked up, so they might have a little inability to relax, but that's not too bad. The problem is the recovery. Oh, my gosh. The recovery should be way, way up here, and it's all the way down here. So this person is going to have a different situation. They're going to have a very low tolerance to stress. People will get on the nerves. They will have no tolerance to incompetent people, out-of-order things, insanities, because what happens is that they'll walk in a room, and their mind immediately goes to something that is out of place. They can't help it because the adrenal is a survival gland, and anything that is not survival, like something insane or out of order or some errors, they have to either get it fixed or correct it because that's survival. If we go back to this state, flight or fight, this person, they're thinking so much because the nature of what's going on is that they're trying to survive, and if they're idle, if they're doing nothing, like sleeping, they're feeling guilty, so they have to constantly keep their mind active. So they think, if I'm thinking a lot, then I'm surviving. So it's kind of, it's an overkill. This person is going to start having memory problems. They're going to start going in a room and wondering, okay, what am I looking for? Where did I park? Because this is also your buffer for stress and your relay switch between your memories and your ability, like that little switch that allows you to look in your file cabinets to remember things. It's basically affecting how it's actually affects with the adrenal on the something in your brain, which is called the GPS. It's called the hippocampus. I'm trying to not give you too many words, but it's this structure in the brain that's like a GPS that helps you locate yourself in time and space. When that thing goes low, then you start feeling like you have Alzheimer's. Okay? But it's really a lack of oxygen in the brain because you've been in flight or fight. So if the recovery is almost perfect, I'm sorry, if the activation or the flight or fight is almost perfect and the recovery is low, that's more of a sustained stress, pushing yourself for many years but not able to recover along the way. This graph usually comes from a sudden shock. It could be a sudden loss. It could be more of a acute, sudden stresses. Okay, this one is a chronic, long-term stress. But both of these gives me prediction on where the person's going. On this one, the person's burning out. Eventually, they're going to be burnt out. They're not burnt out. They're burning out. This person's down the road, they're going to have a lot of problems with digestion, with sleep, with patience, with metabolism. They're going to start gaining a lot of weight. They're going to feel real burnt out. Okay? Okay, check out this pattern. When these dials go low, now we're talking about complete burnout, and this small section right here, it says low, this happens to be the lower range. And when you're in this low range, you're at risk for heart attacks. There's certain cardiologists who use this technology to predict mortality from heart attacks. And there's even over 2,000 studies, I'll just show you, that indicate this. Here's one. Low. It says right here, heart rate variability as an independent predictor of sudden death and chronic heart failure. Yeah. So when you get down here, because we're measuring the data between the heartbeats, it's a very tired heart. So this person absolutely should not do high-intensity exercise because they're going to get chest pain. They're going to have a possibility of getting a heart attack. So this is a very good screening tool to know what type of exercise you should do. If you're going to do a marathon, chances are you could even like drop dead over the finish line because you're going to tap out this recovery and really create a problem on your heart. Of course, if you don't have this machine, you can go by how you feel, but sometimes it's not accurate. But the whole point that I want to make is that when you're in the low range, your health starts to kind of go downhill. And also, this dial, the ability to react to stress, you lose the ability to react to stress. So now you have an inability to have that get up and go when you get out of bed in the morning. You lose that vitality. You don't feel the initiation to go out and work out. You're just tired. Okay, so I want to see if there's any questions. Oh yeah, some people are saying, that sounds like me. Yes, you are looking at a stress meter graphic, and this is a representation of the machine that we have that measures this. I actually had some PhDs, scientists, build this unit out for me, and I have a unique thing that I'm going to show you shortly, because I wanted to measure the recovery real-time after an exercise, and I'm going to show you that in a minute, but I just wanted to make sure that I'm checking in with everyone because I'm talking about everything, but I'm not able to talk to you guys, but I'm looking at the questions. So I want to take a little moment here and just ask people, what we talked about this last week if you're at the webinar. I'm going to talk about stress, and then I'll ask you a question in a second. I just want to ask Dr. Jameson, have you had any other clients that have experienced certain types of stress states or any interesting cases that we're working on now?
I did, actually. I just saw her today. This is a client who's had chronic stress, I mean, over decades, and she's had ADHD, been on Adderall, really dependent on Adderall, and pain and inflammation all over her joints, specifically her knee and her low back. So she was debilitated when she came in. She couldn't do any activities. As far as Adderall, she didn't want to continue taking it, and she couldn't function without it at all. Well, after about 8 weeks of treatments with her, her pain is at about 0 to 1 out of 10. She came in at 9 out of 10, 10 being the worst pain she's ever felt, 0, no pain. And her sleep was horrible, too. She would wake up multiple times. It was a miracle if she could get, like, about 5 hours of sleep, but that was very rare. Her sleep has improved as well, 7 to 8 hours. Tremendous improvement. She doesn't wake up much in the middle of the night. She's off of her meds completely, and she's able to function and start activities, physical activities. So,
wow, that's great. Yeah. Now, today I showed you another technique that we're going to use on patients, and I think we practiced it on you and some of the other practitioners. Was that pretty cool?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I actually used it on that patient today, and she was in awe. She couldn't believe it. It's amazing.
We were trying to figure out how we can demonstrate it, but we need someone to help me, so probably next time I'll show you guys this technique, but it's mainly to pull out stress out of your traps, which is the tight muscles up here. And what do you think? Did it help your traps when we did it?
Oh my gosh, I had actually chronic pain on my left side the last 3 days. I was treating patients in a really bad position, so I kind of hurt myself, I think. But immediately, I haven't had pain since that treatment. So
yeah, so I'm going to show you guys what that is. But there's a lot of different maneuvers. One of the things that we use is acupressure to pull stress out. There, you know, we do it on people, and then we teach people how to do it. Of course, us doing it is a little bit more effective than a person doing it because we can get really deep. But there's ways and methods of pulling stress out. I wanted to answer one question from Amy. I'm already looking at cardiac issues, and she mentioned that she thinks she has POTS syndrome. POTS syndrome is postural hypotension or tachycardia, which basically it's when you lie down and stand up, your pulse rate starts going really, really high, or it can go very, very low. And POTS is really a classic autonomic nervous system dysfunction, and the body just cannot adapt to gravity stress, and that's just it's adrenal. It's totally the adrenal. Now, someone asked about depression. Depression is, this is a really good test to see what's going on with people that are depressed, and I would say, hands down, almost every single person that was depressed that I assessed, they weren't really depressed, they were exhausted. The energy level was very, very, very low. So let me just show you what I mean by that. Okay. Yeah. So when that tall dial goes lower, they're going to be tired and they're going to feel depressed. Try to be depressed if you're energetic. Try it. It won't, you can't do it. Okay. So yes, that's, let's see here. Okay. So yeah. Yes, we're looking at the cardiovascular body right here, but we're actually measuring the activation recovery part of the nervous system that controls not just the heart, but the whole body. So that's what we're looking at right here. But we can just relay that to different parts of your body so we can kind of not just see where you're at, but predict what's going to happen to you. Because down the road, this person's going to actually, they're just going to lose functions. And the valve of the bladder, all the valves, all the sphincters will be having a problem if you burn out this system. And that's how you get bladder issues, urination bladder issues, vision issues because the valve in the eye will be off, digestive issues that you can call it GERD, whatever. It's just, it's all the same thing. That's why the adrenal glands, which control the stress, is such a common problem with so many people. I'm just going to release a video. I'll probably do it tomorrow or the next day of a lady who just came out, another lady, not Connie, but another lady. And she was drinking, I'm not kidding, 4 to 5 pots of coffee a day when she came here. And her biggest nervousness was that she wasn't going to be able to not drink all of it. Well, because the severe side effects. We treated on Monday. On Tuesday, she drank one cup of coffee. Wednesday, one cup of coffee. She feels wonderful. And I'm just going to let you watch that video because it's quite remarkable. Now, I want to just talk about nutrition really fast because some of you want to know, what do I do? You know, I'm in flight or fight or I'm in burnout mode. There are certain nutritional things that you need to take if the dial is too high. If you're in flight or fight mode and you're thinking and analyzing everything, then you're going to need more potassium. So where do you get potassium? Vegetables. How much? Our bodies need 4,700 milligrams a day. How much is that? 7 cups. So 7 cups of vegetable a day will give you your potassium. All right, what else? Magnesium. That will also lower cortisol. So you can take magnesium. Where do you get magnesium? Leafy vegetables, okay. Now, vitamin B2, B3 is also good for flight or fight mechanism. But I don't like to take that individually. I like to take the whole B complex in something called nutritional yeast. You can get it from the health food store. I highly recommend it. And that will help a flight or fight problem. Now, if that tall dial or the small dial goes to the left and the person becomes more burnt out, you need calcium. The best source of calcium is cheese from Europe. Like if you go to Trader Joe's or some health food store and get some cheese and snack on that at night, that would give you a good amount of calcium. I'm not really into taking too many calcium tablets because here's the thing. One thing about calcium is that most of it's recycled by the kidney. We really only lose a small amount of calcium. Now, we do lose a lot of potassium, but not calcium. And the problem with people with calcium is they're not taking the fat-soluble vitamins to mobilize the calcium. They're not taking omega-3 fatty acids enough. So a good fish oil, or DHA, which is omega-3, some cheese, and B1, that's nutritional yeast. So if you're unsure if you're in flight or fight or burnt out, take all of these. It's going to help stress. Okay, I don't know. Dr. J, can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going rapidly because I'm running out of time, but I want to show you guys something. This red line right here indicates that flight or fight. Okay? So let's pretend that the person is resting and then they start to exercise. The flight or fight kicks in there so your body can adapt to stress. It's working hard. It's raising the heart rate. It's increasing the pulse rate. It's increasing oxygen. It's getting blood to the muscles. And then you stop working out, right? What happens now is the recovery or parasympathetic kicks in. Notice that it's suppressed and then it kicks in there. So the parasympathetic, the recovery, is working when you stop your stress state, when you stop working out. It kicks in there and it pushes the pulse rate down. Okay? So this parasympathetic is very, 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 very important in your health. It's behind a lot of problems with cardiovascular, ability to burn fat, ability to sleep, ability to digest, and I have a test to measure it. And what I'm finding with most people is they're very, very, very low. But I want to explain parasympathetic is an active recovery. It's a push-down wave that pushes the flight or fight down. Okay? So it's basically these two systems are the systems behind the pulse rate. They control the speeding up and the slowing down. So that's what's behind. So this is the test that I told you about. I have a machine that measures your recovery real time after a tiny little workout. The top dial is a very strong recovery after a workout. Look at how nice and robust the wave is. And look at this guy. Nothing. He has no recovery. So guess what? This guy shouldn't do any type of intense exercise. This guy could handle it. So really, it tells me what the person can handle. One last thing about the heart rate variability. Recovery from exercise involves those two systems like we talked about. This study basically reveals that one of the best predictors for heart attacks is measuring how fast you recover after the first minute of exercise. In other words, how fast the pulse rate recovers. So let's pretend that you worked out for 1 minute really hard, and then you measured your pulse rate. And the pulse rate maybe got up to 150. Let's just pretend it's 150. If that pulse rate only comes down 12 points or less, that means you have poor recovery and you're at risk for heart attacks. So this is a summary of what that test showed. But I'm finding people, if they're really in shape, that pulse rate will come down 25, 30, 40, 50, 55 points, 55 heartbeats. So in other words, it's another good test to see if you can handle exercise or not. So that's pretty much, that's what I wanted to talk about there. Let me just see if I can get myself on here. Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to answer some questions. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, some people are asking, is this going to be recorded? Yes, you just go to my YouTube channel, Dr. Eric Berg, 123. All right, so let me see here. Okay. Does it include the kale shakes? Yes, the kale shakes will be part of the 7 cups of vegetables. Absolutely. But isn't yeast candida? Okay, this is good. So isn't yeast candida? No. I should do a video on the microbes. The reason why people get candida or yeast or unfriendly bacteria is because their own friendly yeast, their friendly bacteria is too low. That's right. You have normal yeast in your body that's supposed to protect you against the unfriendly yeast. Nutritional yeast is a friendly yeast. It will not cause yeast at all. So if anyone tells you that, that's absolutely not true. All right, so what's my daily potassium veggie to meat? Oh, with wheatgrass and kale juice? Well, wheatgrass, I have a wheatgrass juice powder. It's a juice powder, so it's highly concentrated. So 1 teaspoon is equivalent to 4 pounds of vegetables. It has tremendous amounts of potassium. So yes, you could do the wheatgrass to get a lot of potassium or kale juice, no doubt. But of course, I want you to also eat vegetables as well. All right, so Karen says, how do we get the heart rate test? There's a couple things that you can do. I'm working now on an app that has a heart rate variability built into a smartphone. I don't know if I'm going to be able to figure it out, but I'm working on it because I thought it'd be really, really cool to hook up a wristband and be able to sleep all night long and look at your recovery, and then after, before, and during an exercise, and then see the recovery. So I'm working on that. However, for those of you that are local, you can come to my office and I'll do a test for you for free if you want, just to check you out. And even if you're not local, I have people that fly in that get the test and the evaluation. So I have, if anyone wants a test, I'll be more than happy to assess you and tell you what's going on. Let's see here. Is nutritional yeast gluten-free? Yes, it's gluten-free. Okay, within how many minutes should a pulse rate come down in 25 to 55 beats? 1 minute. When you do this recovery test, if you want to do it, you spike your pulse rate really hard for 1 minute, and then you measure how far that pulse rate came down after you stopped working out. Okay?
So, Dr. Berg, I can't see any of the chats for some reason. That's
okay. I guess I'm the only one that can see it here. So I'm just reading them off.
Okay.
Someone says, this is scary. I saw a personal trainer for a year, and it would take me a week to recover after each session. My legs would collapse. Wow. It was terribly sore. I assume this is a strong indication of recovery poor. Yes. Here's a really good indication. Let's say you work out, and you feel sick after you work out, or you can't sleep, and you're wound up. and it takes you days to recover, and you get out of breath, and you don't feel good. You're overtraining. So cut it down and work out less frequent. But this whole no pain, no gain is not very, very good. I want to just tell you probably one of the big stresses in my life that I had when I was when our first child, he was 6 months years old, went to Mexico, and it was really dusty, and we came back, and my son was 6 months, and he got he started coughing, and he started losing his strength, and so we went to the hospital finally, and I wasn't going to take him there, but something just said, you know what, something's not right. Waited 3.5 hours, and they basically did a lumbar puncture and collapsed his lungs, and they stopped breathing. And so I'm seeing my son, they're called in cold blue, and I started to see the room just spinning. I've never fainted before until that one time. I just sat down and just completely blacked out. And then I woke back up, and the doctor's hovering over me saying, it's serious. And I went way back again. I'm like, don't say that again. So my son contracted infantile botulism, which is rare. 20 kids out of the year, out of the entire United States, gets infantile botulism, where you lose all of your nerve cells, and you—that's probably why they don't want you to have honey, give honey to a baby, because sometimes it could have the botulism thing. So he had infantile botulism, so he went paralyzed, and he was in a—he had all these tubes all over everything, and so it was very, very, very a shock, a stressor. I couldn't talk about it for months and months and months, because you know, here your little baby. Just all sick and fried and like his eyes were down and his digestive system, and he pulled out of it. He survived, but that stress was emotionally a threat of loss, and I want to just, the reason I brought that up is because I want to explain that emotional losses are 1,000 times more damaging than physical trauma. You'd be better getting run over by a truck than having some severe loss of a loved one. Trace mineral with water, yes, that's a good idea. Okay, so someone just asked a quick question. But, you know, I want to just ask people, go ahead and write down, what's your biggest current stress right now? Go ahead and just type it. I just want to see what people are saying. And as they're typing, I'm going to tell you another stress that I have as well. It's okay to experience stress as long as you can recover from it, because you're not going to be able to put yourself in a bubble and escape it because you live on planet Earth. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen. So the key is getting your body to recover each night. And so one of the things that really jacks up my adrenal is the Yelp reviews. Yeah, the Yelp reviews. Yelp reviews filter all of my good reviews, and they keep all the bad ones, and they keep all the hypercritical adrenal cases that, you know, I call everyone if someone's upset and I make it go right. If I have to refund them, whatever, I will make it go right. And then there's people that just have a chip on their shoulder, a grudge, that they'll tend to be very, very, you know, they'll just hold a grudge. And so my biggest stress right now is this darn Yelp. Is just like they have all these bad reviews, and Yelp, like if you have someone write a good review, if it's too good, they'll filter it because they say it's fake. So anyway, that's one of the stresses I'm dealing with right now. So let me just kind of go through here. Weight, my job, health issues.
Chip on the shoulder, a grudge that they'll tend to be.
What was that? Okay. Financial, my husband lost his job, arguments, weight, low energy, debt to income ratio, relationship, loss of parents, relationship. Well, there's one thing that people do when they get married is you're going in, getting involved with something they know nothing about until they experience it. I always love that you have this marriage counselor, but they've never been married before. I mean, it's not easy, and it takes a lot of work, but since you brought that up, I do want to talk about what a problem is, give you a little tip on that. A problem is an unresolved, it's usually an indecision. If you take a list of all your problems, there's some type of situation where you're at the effect of that you can't control. It's like an out-of-control situation. So it's something where maybe you can't make a decision about it because it involves something else, or you're in a partnership where you don't really like it, or you're married to a crazy guy or have a mean boss that you have to keep the job. So it's you're being at the effect of something. You're going to be as stressed to the degree that you can't fight back and you can't do something about it. You can't make a decision about it. But anything that you can make a decision about and decide about and improve the control over, you'll be less stressed. Okay? Just want to throw that out there. And what I like to do is if I have a problem, I will list all the problems and all the indecisions that I have about it, and I'll just start deciding about it until it tries to solve. And the other thing that I'll do is I will define the problem. I found that just by really identifying the problem, it tends to unravel. And that's how I figured out the weight thing. Like if you said something like, well, I have a problem, I can't lose weight. Well, is that really the problem? Maybe you can't burn fat. You're not able to burn fat. So now we have to define what is fat. The definition of fat is a tissue that helps you, that protects you against starvation. It's a survival thing. It protects you against starvation. So guess what a diet is? It's a form of starvation. So right there, by looking at the definition of what it does, you can start to see the whole thing start unraveling, because now that automatically says, well, diets don't, that's why my diet doesn't work, because I don't ever want to starve myself. I want to heal my body. So you want to take the person out of flight or fight. You want to take the person out of stress mode. So there's several things that you can do, okay? And I think if you are stressed, the absolute hands down best exercise that you do is walking. Walking outside, not on a treadmill, in a park, looking at a bird in a tree, in a cloud, getting space. Why? Because when you're thinking all day long, you're solving problems and you're thinking about these pictures that actually re-trigger the adrenal. So all day long, the stress from the pictures will activate the adrenal. So your thoughts have a lot to do with your adrenal too. So you really have to look at life as a game, as much as it's hard to do that, because problems are a part of life, and if we had no problems, we'd be bored to death. Could you imagine playing tennis with a baby? There's no challenge. So we need barriers to overcome them. So part of happiness is overcoming barriers. So, but it comes with a package. If you, like in basic training, I went to basic training back in 1984, and I had no idea what I was getting myself involved with, because I thought it was, the recruiter said it's going to be all, it's going to be war games. We're going to be able to shoot grenades and M16s, and it was going to be really, really fun, and I couldn't wait to get down there. Well, when I got off the cattle truck in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in 120 degree weather, and they're just, I didn't know it was a game. I took it personally. So I went through 3 months of just stress. You know what that did? By the time I got out of there, I could barely do a push-up. I was so broken down. No sleep, complete stress, mental stress, physical trauma, workouts every day. It really burnt me out. So if I would have went in there with a different viewpoint that this is a game, it would have been so much better. But I took it personally. So you almost have to really... The people that are healthier, there's an island off the coast of Greece. These people live to be 100 years old. I think it's called the Blue Zone. And they are these older people in their 90s, partying. They're very happy, no stress at all, and they keep living. And they have very few problems. And yes, they do drink red wine, and they smoke, and they do everything else. So just it goes to show you that how stress can affect your state of being. It's incredible. So there's a couple things that you can do. You can go for walks. You can get your diet improved. Celery is very, very good to take before bed. I always consume about 3 or 4 celery stalks before I go to bed because celery reduces cortisol. Okay? So celery is good. And nutritional yeast. Okay? Nutritional yeast. And that's good for the B vitamins. That helps reduce the stress. Janet says, I have used the adrenal fatigue formula over years, and it works. I've lost 45 pounds in 8 months. That is awesome. I need you to send me that success story. So there is a formula that I use. There's 3 things that I'm going to recommend. Number one, if you're stressed and you have a sleeping problem, I recommend you get my adrenal formula. Take one before bed. If you're in the area or not in the area and you want to come in, just get assessed, come in my office, and I'll be more than happy to test you personally, and we'll just tell you what's wrong and give you some suggestions. And so what I want to ask you is I want to ask you a favor to help me reduce my stress, okay? So what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you for to be able to write a review on help on either my information, stuff that you've watched with my information, or if you take my supplements, or if you've been in my office, in exchange for helping me lower my stress, if you write that review, I will help you reduce your stress. Okay? And the way I'll do it is I will give you a good discount on the adrenal formula. So I'll show you what that is. There's an adrenal formula you can take before bed, and you take one before bed. And for those people who would be willing to write a Yelp review on me, and I'll actually send you an email on it, but all you need to do is go to drberg.com/do-a-review. drberg.com/do-a-review, and just put your name and email, and that just means that you're willing to do a Yelp review, and then I'll fill you in on the details. But if you do that and help me reduce my stress, I will give you this bottle 50% off. I'll give you a coupon code. You can buy it half price. Does that sound good? So anyway, it's kind of like reciprocal. I tell you, I hate Yelp with a passion because they filter all those good reviews. And they think that the good reviews are all fake, but they're not. There's people that actually get results in my office. There's quite a few of them. So anyway, I just kind of want to summarize something. All stress is accumulative. There is a way to get rid of this stress. You can do it with exercise and diet, but there is another thing that we use with acupressure. I am thinking about doing a seminar on acupressure at a hotel down the street in August. And the seminar is going to teach people how to do acupressure. The only thing is, we would need to, you would need a partner. And I'm sure we can match you with someone at the seminar if you come alone. But if you are interested, probably a couple $100 for the seminar, but it'll be at a hotel, probably in Old Town or the Gaylord Hotel. But if you're interested in that, let me know, and I'll put you on the list. And you can come to the seminar, and we'll teach you. Now, if you're not local, what I can do is record it. It's about 4 hours, and then you can watch the video at some other time. So anyway, I thought I mainly want to do it because I want to get this technology out there, because there are people that just are stressed out and they don't know what to do. But the acupressure really works because you can actually do acupressure on the old stresses and the adrenals. So I like that. I wonder if Yelp reviews itself. Yeah. So anyway, a lot of people are interested. A lot of people are going to help me out with reduce my stress, and I really appreciate that. So just go to that link, and then just put your name and email, and then I'll send you an email tomorrow on the review. And I don't want to. I'm not saying to write a perfect review. In fact, I don't want you to write a perfect review. I want to, because in order for it to stick, you have to have some critiques. So, and I don't want you to even put a 5-star, but I do want you to be honest. I'm not telling you to fake anything. Just want your honest opinion. But I do need some. I need as many positive. I need as many reviews as possible that are honest opinions. That's what I need, because you know, it's just it gives. There's people that will believe. See, anyone could write anything on the internet about anyone, and people will believe it. So I suggest before you decide, just look at all the information and see if it makes sense to you. Okay, someone says, who cares about Yelp? Well, here's the problem. There's, unfortunately, I didn't care about Yelp, and I tried to ignore them, but a lot of people are going there, and then they're calling my office asking about what's about this help review, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's just an irritation. It's kind of like, here I am trying to help all these people, putting out a fire, and I got this dog barking on the side. It's distracting me, and I should probably ignore it, but... What about Google reviews? I have enough good Google reviews. Yeah, and I have a lot of everything. All the other reviews are really good. It's just the Yelp is just irritating me. So anyway, let me know if you would like me to do a seminar on acupressure. And in the meantime, I'll be doing that in August. And also, if anyone would like, you can call my number. If you want a test at my office to do a heart rate variability test, we'll just measure and we'll go ahead and do assessment and see what's going on and give you some recommendations. All right, so it's exactly 9 o'clock. I want to thank you guys for listening in. I hope you got a couple tips. I'll be doing some more webinars. Thank you, Dr. J.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we'll talk to you guys real soon. Have a good one.
Hey guys, I just want to let you know I have my new keto course just came out. It's a mini course. It covers all the basics and how to do it correctly. You can get through this in probably 20 minutes at the very most. So if you're interested, click the link below and get signed up now.